prayer requests, or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. There's been a lot of people that have had birthdays already this month that I know. There are other people who are going to be having birthdays next week that I know me. There are just lots and lots of birthdays that are going on. And so we pray that all of those people know that they are appreciated and that they are loved. And we wish you the rest of the year will be one of your best years ever. This shutdown that has taken place this spring really impacted a lot of people. I know weddings that had to be reconfigured. I know funerals that took on different things. We had to have a virtual birthday party for a family member. Just you really have to be creative during this season on how you can go ahead and celebrate all of life, because life's still going on. All of the details of life, they're still happening. There's babies being born and people who are getting sick, people who are dying, people are getting saved, people are getting baptized. A lot of great things are happening. So we want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air. They've been providing professional sales, service, and repairs in the air conditioning, heating, and electrical fields for over 40 years. I wish I could say that's longer than I've been alive, but that would be a lie. It's not. They work in the residential and commercial settings. They provide emergency service when necessary. They have different techs that are on call, and they strive to provide the best possible service at an affordable price. So if you are finding yourself in need of air conditioning, heating, or electrical service, give them a call at 321-632-9538. That number, once again, is 321-632-9538. They are licensed and insured, and they got all their legal designations here on the piece of paper. But we are very, very thankful for them. They are a blessing to the body of Christ, and I pray that you'll give them a call. They go all throughout Brevard County and work on any type of system. Give them a call, 321-632-9538. So we're going to end this week in Proverbs chapter 6. That's what we have been working on. Yesterday we talked about, you know, that we need to be proactive in delivering ourselves, at times, and especially if we're the ones that created the mess for ourselves in the first place. A lot of people are great at creating their own problems and not very good at getting themselves out of those problems. I've known people like that. And, you know, they just had a way of compounding things. A lot of people don't want to ask for wisdom or assistance while it's a trash can fire. They want to wait until it's a 3-alarm inferno. And it's like, you know, I think this problem might be bigger than me. So we want to encourage people to not delay, but they'll actually make the lifestyle adjustments and be proactive in getting themselves out of a situation that they'll never find themselves in again. So I do want to remind you that Mother's Day is coming up this Sunday. Pray that you would count yourself blessed. I will not get to talk to my mother this Mother's Day. A lot of other people are in that situation as well. But if you are in position to speak with your mother, make sure that you call her. Make sure that you tell her that you love her, that you appreciate her. Do whatever is special for her. My mother did not like flowers. She's like, If you send me a bouquet of flowers, that means they're dead, and I'm just going to end up watching them decay on my table. That was her mindset. For her, she just wanted to hear my voice. She wanted to hear my brother's voice, my sister's voice. So every mother is a little bit different. And so I pray that you would spend time with them if you can, however you can. You know, my mother was 1,200 some odd miles away, and FaceTime was something that we could do. But the last time I FaceTimed my dad, that was the one day he had decided he was going to sleep in that day. And so that doesn't always work out well. Make sure you have a coordinated plan. Let's get back to Proverbs chapter 6. We are not going to read the whole chapter initially. Today, we're going to look at verse number 6, read through verse number 15, and we'll pick up additional resources as time permits. But in verse number 6, again, this is a proverb that Solomon writes to his son. This chapter begins, "My son." So you just continue on there. "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep? So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy." So, if you remember the story of Solomon's successor, his name was Rehoboam. It was his son. And Rehoboam, when he sought counsel, the first source of counsel was the elders the group of elders that had served Solomon. And Solomon had very elaborate buildings, buildings that took decades to accomplish, elaborate structures, fancy structures that went up. And even though there was a booming economy, if you will, it says that Solomon had made silver of little value in those days because it was so common. It had the value of a rock. I'd like to have a quarry of that, if you don't mind, please. Thank you very much. But it came at a tremendous toll on the people. So the elders advised Rehoboam, and they said, "You need to ease up on the people. If you will ease up on them a little bit, you will find that they will serve you all of their days." It doesn't mean that they were going to be lazy. It meant that you just need to reduce the burden on the people. So he got that counsel, and then the next thing he did was he went to his peers, people that he had grown up in the palace with. These would be sons of people who served his father. And for them, it was all about making a name for Rehoboam that was greater than the name of Solomon. Well, that didn't happen. And what they said is, make the burden more onerous. Make it more heavy. Say, "You thought my father was strong. Wait till you see my strength. Show them who's boss." And the truth of the matter was, the reason that they would offer that counsel is because they had not been out there in the real world to experience what that was like. There is a tremendous difference between living in a fantasy world and living in a real world. I told my kids when they were going to college, "You've got to understand that what you are going to be doing is you are going to be going to school in a fantasy environment. There's going to be a lot of theory that is thrown around. There, you know, your biggest problem is what type of food are they serving in the food court this day? You'll have papers to write, you'll have research to do, and all that sort of stuff. But at some point in time, you will exit that bubble, that fantasy world, and you're going to get out into the real world. I chuckled because when both of my daughters came home from college and they got jobs and started having to go to work, and they've always worked, but this was full-time adulting, if you will. And they found it hard. And so, I mean, when it came time to, when they were growing up and it came time for them to go to bed, oh, we want to stay up, we want to stay up. When they got into the adult realm of life, they were like, we want to go to bed, we want to go to bed. and so they found out that there was responsibility that came with that. That job meant they had to be there at a certain point in time. That meant you had to factor in variables like trains and school buses and garbage trucks and people who don't know how to drive on the roads and all that sort of stuff. And so they had an understanding. And so they didn't get caught up in a lot of the theoretical things of life because they were grounded in reality before they went. I think we have a lot of that in Washington, D.C., that there are people who have spent so much of their life governing other people that they don't realize the hard work it takes going into being a real person. You see that now with celebrities. Celebrities make so much money, they think that they're an expert on everything, but they are disconnected from all of the reality. And so they will make fun of people who are absolutely essential to making society thrive. I teased my kids. I was like, now that all the restaurants have been closed, there's going to be people with a couple options. Either they're going to have to learn how to cook or they're going to starve. So that's the situation that you find him in. And he refers to his son. He says, go to the ant, you sluggard. There is no indication in Scripture that he has changed the recipient of these instructions. This is still a father communicating with his son. And he's telling him, you have got to develop a work ethic. You can't be a sluggard. There's nothing that is good that is going to come from this. You cannot be in bondage to slothfulness and have any other outcome other than poverty. And so here the deliverance that takes place is a change in the lifestyle. And as long as it is Solomon trying to externally motivate this son, it's not going to go well. The son has got to embrace this lifestyle, this active lifestyle, this productive lifestyle, and he's got to put it to work for himself. And so he says, go to the ant and study what goes on. Now Solomon was wise in all sorts of different areas. I saw something funny that said Sir Isaac Newton invented calculus during a pandemic. How bored do you have to be in order to invent calculus? he was a person that wasn't just going to sit around and waste the time. He was going to make something productive out of that time. There are a lot of people who are famous or rich, and they have kids that grow up and they feel entitled rather than empowered. There's a huge difference. You can have the same financial resources, and if one person thinks that it is an entitlement, they're not going to have any drive at all to learn a skill set or anything. They're just going to sit around and live off daddy's money. Other people who say, you know what? I am empowered by these resources, and I'm going to put it to use. I was in a business establishment some time ago, and I noticed that they were training a person to work, and come to find out, in that family, it was a family-run business, that in that family, everybody in the family has a job that they do. If you're one of the children, you're going to end up working in one of their enterprises. If one of those kids or grandkids gets married, they're going to have a job in one of the... They want them to understand that they are... It's a family business and they are not hurting. I guarantee you they're not hurting. But that the only way that you move forward is if you have a work ethic. I remember a person told me a long time ago, he said, Pastor, this goes back probably 20 years. If you want something done, don't go to the person who doesn't have anything to do. Go to the person who is the busiest person you know, and they will find a way to get it done. Now there, that statement ends up being true, but it shouldn't be true. You know, the Bible talks about those who will not cannot, but will not work shall not eat. There should be something in the church that you should be able to do. There should be a ministry someplace that you are serving in. There should be phone calls that you would be able to make, or letters you would be able to write, or things you would be able to deliver, or walls that you should be able to paint. Listen, I think that the church ought to be a dynamic place instead of just a place that we visit once in a while when it's convenient. So Solomon writes to his son, puts it down in paper, or on a scroll, what he had communicated. And he said, you need to study the ant and watch how that ant provides her supplies. Okay? An ant colony has a queen, and that queen determines roles in the colony and things like that. It says, consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summertime. So no one has to tell this ant that there is a different season that is coming. Let me ask you a question right now. How many of you, if you had known in November that the coronavirus was going to shut down the economy, how many of you would have done something different with your finances from November to February? Just about all of us would. We would have spent time saving and paying off bills and preparing, you know, to make sure that everything around the house was able up and running and functional and all that sort of stuff. Well, we look at that in hindsight. Creatures in nature don't have that hindsight. They have got to be proactive. And so no one has to tell them a different season is coming. There's four seasons every year. There's winter and springtime and summer and fall. And each one of those seasons requires a different dynamic to prepare. This season is not just for survival, it's about preparing for the next season. And so the ant provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. And so you, that's why when you see that there's a food supply and you find ants, you're going to find all hands are on deck. They are there to gather as much of that food as they possibly can and get it back to the colony where it is going to be able to benefit more of the colony than each one could provide on their own. Isn't it interesting that an ant colony survives together? It survives dependent upon one another instead of independent of one another. Bless God, let's talk about my rights. Let's talk about my individual aspects and stuff like that. And there are things. Listen, I can't make a decision for you about Jesus. You've got to make that decision yourself. You know, one of the things that I remember learning as a pastor is whenever a person would come to me and said, listen, I'm an adult, and they were, and I will make my own decisions. It's like, okay, it's not going to go well. You know, people make decisions based upon their preformed, prepared for decision-making capabilities. And if they do not make good, sound decisions, you can rest assured that they're going to flitter all over the place. So a person that tells me, I attended this church for 2 years, 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 then I say, so about the two-year mark, that person is going to come and tell me that they are moving on, or more than likely, after 2 years, they're not going to tell me anything and they're just going to move on. And so I am thankful. I've got some people that have a heart to work. Listen, if you are in a temporary season right now where you don't have a job, there's something that you can do around your house. Don't slip into a spirit of slothfulness. Use it to prepare. Say, you know what? There are some things that maybe in this last season of my life I've had to push aside, and so now it's time for me to catch up on that list. So I had, I have a brother-in-law who was furloughed during this process, and you know, I've got a mind for God, but I've also got a mind for business, and I said, that's a dumb decision. It wasn't his decision to get furloughed. It was somebody else's decision. But I know the business that he works in. His business makes other business happen. And I said, those people they're self-creating a problem for themselves. But my brother-in-law said, you know what? I didn't create this problem. They're telling me it's going to be a time frame. I talked to him just a couple of weeks ago, and he said, they're already telling me it's not going to be very long because they had too much work for the number of people that they kept on staff. And so my brother-in-law, he's always doing something. I mean, he is a very, very gifted guy because you've got another season that is coming. In case you didn't remember, Mother's Day is coming Sunday. Just thought I'd throw that out there. And then Memorial Day is coming. And there's always something that is coming. You've got to be preparing for the next season. Okay? It's not that you're focusing on tomorrow's problems and ignoring the problems today. You've got to realize that today, what you do today is actually going to impact the crisis that you do or do not have tomorrow. Gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? Boy, you know, used to be that you thought that if you didn't get 10 hours of sleep, you'd had a short night. Now, I average about seven hours of sleep a night, sometimes less than that. About once or twice a week, I'll get 8 hours of sleep. But the people that can sleep, I know some people. I've got a person in my head right now. They can sleep. I mean, they sleep more than they're awake. And I'm not talking about a medical situation. There are some people who are sleeping because of a medical situation. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about people who just make a choice, and they're in a season in their life that they don't realize how important that season is. What they do right now is going to impact their forever. And instead, they just keep hitting the snooze alarm. When will you rise up from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep? What does that lifestyle bring? It brings you something you need to be delivered from. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Listen, there's always going to be something that has to be paid for. Even if you own your own house, there are still utilities that have to be paid. There are property taxes that have to be paid. If you own your own car, there is license tags and insurance. There's electric bills and water bills. There's always going to be some sort of need for finances. You were not created to just, you know, hold your bed down in case gravity fails. That's not your purpose in life. The purpose for that bed is to give you rest and strength so that when you get up, you can put your hand to the plow. You can put your hands to something, and whatever you put your hands to will succeed when God is behind it. And instead of poverty, you're going to find that God's going to be your provider. And instead of need overtaking you and overwhelming you, you are going to find that God is a faithful provider. A faithful provider. So today, the message is simple. Deliver yourself from poverty, deliver yourself from sloth, and that is you say, God, I know that you have created this day. This is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, but you've created it for a purpose. You created me for a purpose. What's your purpose for me today? I want to put my hand to the plow, and God, I'm thankful you're going to help me. We're going to prepare. We're going to meet the needs that we have and someone else has. Be a blessing wherever you are. Don't forget, Sunday's Mother's Day. Make sure that you take advantage of that and make that connection. Tell her how much you love her. We'll see you Monday right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.